Your expertise might be your strength, but it could also be your greatest weakness. Are you ignoring the voices that actually matter most? You mind if I tell you a short story? I was building out this new PMO. I actually partnered with another seasoned project manager who had extensive experience. We were both excited. Matter of fact, we were confident that our combined years of expertise would make this PMO a success. But as we started outlining the processes, the structures, I kind of quickly realized something that was very important. See, my colleagues strongly prefer drawing solely on their past experience, confident that past success guaranteed future results. Therefore, he initially overlooked the critical insight and real-time feedback of the actual project managers who would be running the day-to-day projects. I could see this approach was creating tension and uncertainty among the project managers. But instead of escalating a conflict, I propose we pause and engage directly with our project managers. Therefore, we set up a collaborative workshop and listening sessions to truly understand the project manager's needs as well as their pain points. See, these insights were valuable, transforming our approach and making our PMO more effective, inclusive, and respected. See, this experience has taught me one thing firsthand, that engaging directly with your project managers isn't just a good practice, it's essential. Point number one, engage directly with project managers to understand needs and pain points. You see, each project manager faces unique challenges and has insights that could help shape the PMO process more effectively. Why is this important? See, it's important because meeting individuals or in group sessions, you're able to gather feedback for refining governance, tools, as well as methodologies. This also fosters trust and collaboration between the PMO and the project teams. Experiment with these actionable tips. Conduct structured listening sessions where project managers share what's working and what's not working. Use feedback to prioritize PMO improvements that address the most pressing concerns first. Establish an open door policy or some type of feedback channel for continuous communication. Point number two, message. If you're new to the episode, anytime I say message, this is a very important point. This is the type of point that I want you to really arrest your attention with. Point number two, secure executive team buy-in before making any changes. So before implementing any new processes, frameworks, or structural changes, it is critical, I repeat, it is critical to engage the executive team to ensure you have their support and sponsorship. This is important because executive endorsement helps overcome resistance, it secures funding, and it ensures alignment on a broader business objective. Without executive buy-in, even the best PMO initiatives could stall and not even happen. So experiment with these actionable tips. Schedule dedicated meetings with executives to present the proposed changes and anticipate benefits. Gather feedback from senior leadership to refine your approach and show flexibility. Flexibility is key in any type of PMO. The next one, obtain formal approval or sign off to solidify support on your PMO initiatives. Point number three, attend project manager meetings to understand communication flows. Observing existing project manager meetings firsthand offers information and insights shared from the project team as well as other stakeholders. This is important because effective communication is the key to a successful project outcome. By attending these sessions, you have the ability to identify gaps in reporting, stakeholder updates, project team collaboration, as well as cross-functional collaboration. Experiment with these actionable tips. Join a variety of project meetings like kickoffs, stand-ups, what else, status updates, so you can capture a full spectrum of communication practices. Note, common issues such as delayed updates, unclear action items, or misaligned stakeholder expectation. Provide targeted recommendations or templates to enhance clarity and consistency in these meetings. Point number four, determine the appropriate PMO type. There's three PMO types. You have a supportive, you have a controlling, and you have a directive. See, PMOs can function in different modes, ranging from more of a supportive or an advisory role to fully direct, or even a fully directive authority that mandates processes approval. Let me break those three PMO types down. So in a supportive PMO, you have offer guidance, best practices, training, acting as more of an advisory resource without enforcing strict compliance. The next one, controlling PMO. This establishes and enforces standard processes as well as methodologies requiring teams to adhere to set guidelines. And then, of course, the directive PMO. This assumes direct control over projects, resources, and managing execution and decisions across the organization. This is important, though, family. I want you to choose the right model, whether it's a supportive, controlling, or directive, or a blend of all three of them or two of them, because this ensures that the PMO aligns with organizational culture and project complexity, as well as leadership expectation. I don't want you to assume if you're getting ready to set up a PMO or you're going to improve a PMO that there's a one-size-fits-all. I've seen this so many times where someone is tasked with setting up either a new PMO or improving an existing PMO, and they think it's a one-size-fits-all. No, maybe you need a directive PMO. Maybe you need a controlling PMO. Maybe you need a supportive PMO, but or again, a blend of all three or two, because you have to understand the organizational culture. Meaning, I always say this, you need to meet them where they are and then bring them up with you to the exceptional or the excellence of where the executives are looking to have projects being managed. Experiment with these actionable tips. Assess organizational maturity, culture, and leadership styles to decide which PMO model fits best. Next, pilot your chosen model with a small set of projects before rolling out on an organizational wide. That is key if you decide to experiment with that one. I would recommend it because if you start on a small scale level, meaning, okay, we're going to take, let's say we're going to take two project managers and we're just going to focus on them, or 10 project managers, again, depending on how big the organization, but you want to be able to create some wins and successes so other project managers can actually model it, and then you can roll it out on a full scale. But we want to create wins. We want to create outcome to say, hey, what we're doing here to implement is going to work, and I'm going to show you proof. Because a lot of people will come in and talk and act like they know what they're doing, and then all of a sudden, you roll it out on a big scale, and then it just fails miserably. So small scale and just use an incremental approach. And then the last and final one, reevaluate periodically to see if the PMO needs to shift toward more control or again, flexibility more over time. Point number five, define the PMO charter and objectives. Yes, I know you can't run from this charter thing. It is important. I believe a charter is very important to a project and definitely important to a PMO. So the first step in being a PMO, building a PMO, is creating a clear charter with a set of objectives. What does that look like? We want to include the mission. We want to include the vision. We want to understand the scope of responsibilities. And most of all, we want to understand those KPIs, meaning our success matrix for the PMO within the organization. Why is this important? A well-defined charter sets expectation and aligns stakeholders, executive, meaning executive leadership, project teams, clients, on what the PMO will deliver. And this is my favorite, how it will support the organizational goals. When everyone understands the PMO purpose, it's easier to drive process improvements and deliver a culture of my favorite word of accountability. See, accountability is key in any PMO that is being created or an existing PMO. Experiment with these actionable tips. Collaborate with key executives and department heads to identify top business priorities and strategic goals. Document the PMO. You know I'm big on documentation because what? Because documentation beats conversation any day. So document the PMO primary functions, meaning the project governance, the resource management, and of course, risk oversight, and share these company-wide. Establish clear performance metrics, project completion rates, budget compliance. These are just some examples to measure PMO success regularly. Point number six, establish strong governance structure. governance structures define how decisions are made, who makes them, and how results are monitored and reported. This includes from anything from policies being approved for projects, standardizing processes, and defining escalation pathways. That is a missing gap a lot of times that I've seen, where there's not a true escalation pathway. So a project manager has a new project and the PMO is not aligned with that particular project manager in the sense of, how do I escalate? Yes, I know the project manager should do their very best to lead the project. But when it gets to the point of that they've done everything they can do, meaning they created a solution, they've implemented the solution, and the solution is not working, we need to escalate, and the PMO needs to be supportive enough to support that team. This is important because a robust governance framework ensures consistency and transparent decision-making. This lies with the director of a PMO's responsibility for purpose, implement, and facilitate governance structure, or even a senior project manager that may be over the PMO or program manager. So it's also helps in managing the scope changes effectively and maintaining accountability across all project teams. Experiment with some of these actionable tips. Create a steering community with executive sponsors to oversee major project decisions. Implement standardized templates, checklists for project intake and approval process, and schedule regular governance review meetings to address emerging risks and issues promptly. Point number 7, plan for PMO maturity and scalability. As the organization grows or takes on more complex projects, the PMO must evolve. This includes scaling processes, team capacity, as well as technology solutions. Let me park in parenthetically. We're in a day and age that now we can leverage AI for a lot of technology solution. I'm not saying for everything. What I mean by that, from scheduling, from actually building a charter, but it still requires collaboration. It still requires a sense of understanding, how is this technology going to meet the needs of where the organization is currently at with regards to project management? This is important because a PMO that can scale supports long-term organizational objectives and adapts to new challenges in an IT infrastructure or any other domain. This underscores your potential as a consultant who can guide the PMO evolution. So if you're coming in, especially as a consultant, or you're getting hired on full time, you want to make sure that, again, I always say this over and over because I've seen people come in and push and push, and instead of really taking the time to understand the actual where the PMO is at, from a short term, and then having the foresight, oh, I like that, the foresight or the vision to say, what does, from a long-term standpoint, where we're at, and will we have the ability to make the adaption that we need to? So experiment with these actionable tips. Conduct annual maturity assessments to identify gaps and capabilities. Develop a roadmap that outlines incremental improvements over 1 to 3 years. And the reason why I recommend 1 to 3 years is because of how technology is changing, how we're able to use certain aspects of technology, meaning AI, or maybe going from we always use Microsoft Project, and now we may use a tool like Asana or ClickUp or Monday. So there's different tools out there, and we need to continually always looking between that 1 to 3 year gap. What does this look like? Are we ready to move up, or there's still work to do? And the last and final one, align PMO growth initiatives with the company's strategic planning cycle to secure necessary resources. Point number 8, integrate resource management and demand planning. Effective PMO operations require balance the demand for projects with available resources, meaning people, budget, as well as technology. This is important because aligning project assignments with available talent and capacity helps avoid these two things that I always see, which is bottlenecks as well as burnout of resources. This also ties into working with resource managers on demand management to meet deadlines. So experiment with these actionable tips. Implement a resource management tool to track and forecast resource availability. Conduct regular capacity planning sessions with the department leads. And then last and final one, adapt the flexibility staffing strategy, meaning that we want to use full-time employees, contractors, and consultants to handle peak Well, family, if you stayed with me this long, I truly appreciate it. I just have three points as well as a closing remark, and I'll let you be on your way. Here we go. Engage and collaborate early. Always directly involve your project managers from the start. Capturing their insight and addressing their pain point ensures the PMO is practical, beneficial, and widely accepted. Here's the next one. I want you to get prepared for some resistance. Mm-hmm. See, when you understand that change can already be challenging, not everyone will immediately embrace the new process. But by quickly addressing identified pain points and demonstrating tangible outcomes, you significantly increase your chances of winning over skeptics. And the last final word, alignment is key. Remember, successful PMO development goes beyond initial setup. You must stay attuned for how you're going to lead it going as far as the future, meaning that 1 to 3 year mark. So if you found these insights very helpful, which I hope they were for you, I have a part two, because this is just really the beginner's version. When I say beginner's version, meaning just to help you understand that you have to get started somewhere. And most importantly, is really taking the time to understand where the organization is at, understanding what the project managers are before you come in and start implementing templates and resources. Yeah, I touched on it, but in the next, in part two of this, I'll do a deeper dive into the PMO. Well, family, I go by the name ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means it. Until next.